Welcome to the Editor's Weekly Podcast. This is episode 11 with your host, Gaming Insurrection Editor-in-Chief, Lindsay Mosley, and Associate Editor and Partner in Crime, Jamie Mosley. What's up, Jamie?
What's going on?
Yeah, after a little hiatus, we're back. We had a couple of issues, such as a catastrophic hard drive failure, so we couldn't do a couple of episodes.
We went to the beach.
Yes, we went to the beach to celebrate for our 5th wedding anniversary. Not that anybody cares, but it was fun. We're gonna post up. We actually did a show for the Gaming Insurrection show episode coming from the beach, and we talked about the places we went and looked at different arcades, and or at least tried to find an arcade. And we couldn't find one of the ones we were looking for. So, we did do an episode, and we're going to post that up in a little while. Just haven't gotten time to get around to doing it. But anyway, this week, our episode is on movie games, the good, the bad, the ugly. And this is a topic that we have really talked about in the past together, and we decided we were going to talk about it again for an episode because we both have played some really good movie-based games, and so we played some really bad ones, and we mean real bad, like the kind where you go, why did somebody take the time to make this? And just to start off, when I define good, I mean, like, it's playable, it's enjoyable, like, you can actually play the game and see what the point was, and it has good controls, that kind of thing. So, my first movie game that I really played that was based off a movie was, Aladdin, Disney's Aladdin on the Super Nintendo. And it's actually pretty good. I have to say, it's probably one of the best that I've played, which is pretty bad because there's a hell of a lot of movie games that are out there and you go, why did somebody do this? But yeah, Aladdin on the Super Nintendo by Capcom was one of the best that has ever been done, really, I think. It followed the plot of the movie. The controls were pretty good. It looked like the movie. It even resembled the movie a lot. Because the reason why I say this is because it's the Super Nintendo version. The Genesis version doesn't really follow the movie. It adds things in that wasn't present in the movie, such as Aladdin running around with a scimitar. Aladdin doesn't have a scimitar. He only has a scimitar at the end of the movie. That's for you folks who've seen Aladdin and know what I'm talking about. I mean, like, he doesn't have a scimitar at the beginning of the movie, so.
They were making Prince of Persia before Prince of Persia decided to be big.
Well, Prince of Persia was big before that, but.
It was.
But
they were trying to redo it.
Yeah. So, I think that Aladdin, though, is one of the first ones that was really good. And that was 1993. So, I mean, and it's colorful, it's bright, it's, the colors are really rich in the game, I thought, background-wise. And it resembles the movie. I mean, you can follow the plot of the game and follow the movie. So, I think that that's one of the better ones. I'm trying to think if there's anything else I've played. Movie to game translation that is actually pretty good, and I'm coming up drawing a blank. I really don't know of any. Any of you know, Jamie?
Let me think here of any I might know that's good. I have to say probably one of the Star Wars games, but I can't remember exactly. No.
Star Wars Trilogy?
Star Wars Trilogy was a good arcade game. It was based off the movie. And the only reason it was really good was, one, you got to shoot some stuff. Two, it only took, like, each stage only took, like, 5 to 10 minutes, so you didn't have to work on it long. And, you know, it was a quarter muncher, though. It was a quarter muncher. I think that was the only bad thing about it. But other than that, I think I really enjoyed that game. I enjoyed that game a lot. It was much, much better than, say, Friday the 13th, which I played, was horrible. Absolutely horrible. We've talked about that many times before, so I can't stress how horrible that game was. It's horrible. It's absolutely horrible. It's like trying to watch the Friday the 13th movies, all of them, even the remakes, put them all together, try to edit them together where they all have one continuous storyline.
The only thing continues is that Jason comes back.
Nope. You gotta make an edit so it all has one continuous storyline. And throw, you know, you gotta throw in the Freddy versus Jason in there. But how's that gonna make it in the storyline? Doesn't matter. That's what you get when you play Friday the 13th video game.
Well, what I don't understand about the whole, even if you were trying to put them all back. Okay, so Mrs. Voorhees was the killer in the first one. Okay, this is, I'm sorry to spoil this for some of you who haven't seen it, but if Ms. Voorhees is the killer in the first one, then what does it have to do with Jason coming back in the successive movies afterward?
He wanted revenge for those people that hurt his mom.
Well, why didn't he just come back with his mama?
He was a little boy and presumably dead.
He was presumed dead, I suppose, yes, but, I mean, I'm just trying to understand, like...
The boy had drowned, although he wasn't drowned.
No, he drowned.
He wasn't drowned.
Oh, he drowned. He was dead.
He was not dead.
Though I don't understand how he was a 12-year-old boy and he was drowned under Crystal Lake, and yet he comes back as an adult.
He drowned for years before then.
I don't get it. Yeah, he drowned years before she decided to go and kill all the camp counselors.
Killing the people.
But how did he drown as a 12-year-old boy? He's 12 years old boy, you know, disabled and all, and he comes back and he's got like a maggot face and he's in a grown man's body. I understand they had to use a grown actor for it.
This is America. We have kids running around killing people.
Yes, we can.
It did happen a couple times in Halloween movies.
Yes. Yes.
The Children of the Corn.
And The Omen.
Yep.
And The Good Son.
Yep.
The Good Son was actually pretty good with Macaulay Culkin as that bad little child.
You can't talk about Home Alone.
No. He was in The Good Son with Elijah Wood,
yeah,
who was like really awesome in that. Because at the end, the woman had to choose between her son and the bad child, and she dropped the bad child off the cliff and he died. I know that I've seen The Good Son like 15 million times. Anyway, I'm just wondering. I had all these questions how that happened.
At least they didn't make that into a game.
But actually, I think they probably did.
Oh, that's horrible.
I don't know. I don't remember. But either way, I just know that Friday the 13th was a really bad version of a movie game. My next question. What's your worst ones, besides Friday the 13th, what's your worst ones? I've read bad reviews for Iron Man, Street Fighter the movie, the game, was really bad. It was really bad, because Street Fighter the movie was really bad. Except for the only saving grace, there's two saving grace in Street Fighter. The movie. One, Raul Julia as M. Bison. Raul Julia is the man. God bless him, he dead. He died from pancreatic cancer in like 1995. Because Street Fighter was like his last movie. And I love me some Raul Julia because I love the Addams Family. But I love the Addams Family movies. Actually, that was another one. That was, the game was based off of the movie, and it was pretty good. It was the Addams Family one, where they used John Aniston's lookalike version as Gomez, but it was based off of the movie, with Raul Julia. But, yeah, Raul Julia, in Street Fighter, he completely made the whole movie. He was so over the top that he was Bison.
But Jean-Claude Van Damme could do flash kicks.
I don't give a damn.
He did flash kicks numerous of times without charging, by the way.
I don't give a damn.
Without charging. He did so many flash kicks. It was ridiculous.
First of all.
He didn't charge.
First
of all.
He
didn't charge any of those.
Let's get into the... Let's skip the whole fact that, you know, Guile is American and has a very not clear Japanese accent, yet we get the muscles from Brussels, who, the only reason why he got the damn Guile part was because he could do the flash kicks, and he could do splits.
Okay. I remember Guile doing splits. In the movie he did.
Yeah, in the movie he does, and it's like, what? No, okay. But let's ignore that whole part about
Guile.
How about
the fact that DJ worked for Bison?
Yeah, DJ's never worked for Bison. Never. Okay? Bison has only seen fit to have one black person in his under his employ. Okay? Bison is not a fan of diversity, but Bison understands the value of a black man on staff. I'll give him that. Okay? Not to be racist or anything.
Depends on what he's doing.
Yeah. Well, and he doesn't really even, like, count Balrog. And we're going by American names, by the way. Balrog is under his employ because he's just like, Balrog, you a loss. We don't even pay you anyway. We just on the staff as one of the four bosses. But you don't really work for Shadow Lou. Get off of my staff, boy. Anyway, but okay. And the other saving grace of Street Fighter the movie was at the end when everybody did their win pose from the game.
That whole
10 seconds. Yeah, the 10 seconds where everybody had to get into pose and do it correctly in 10 seconds. Now, I have to say, everybody did it. It was really awesome. It was. It was actually really awesome.
I don't think it was awesome because E. Honda was Hawaiian.
E. Honda, yes. A Samoan man played E. Honda, which I don't understand because they could have got plenty of sumo wrestlers to do it. Which is what E. Honda is. He's a sumo wrestler. But there are some Samoans who do practice, that do actually practice sumo wrestling. But as far as I know in the game, E. Honda is from Japan. Edmund Honda is Japanese and a sumo wrestler. Former world champion sumo wrestler.
Well, you can
he was a Yokozuna.
You can figure it out that he's Japanese with a name like Honda. Of course, he could have made it up.
I didn't know that he was... when I first played Street Fighter, I didn't realize that he was... I realized that he was a sumo wrestler. But that's how I knew that he was Japanese. I didn't look at his name and say, oh, Honda, and he's Japanese. I knew Honda as, you know, car. And that was about it. But I mean, seriously, like, you got to think of that. I was 12 years old. So, I mean, I was not aware that he was Japanese.
That's
and then,
where the car came from.
Yes. Yeah. Then I realized later on that's where Honda's came from. I thought Honda was an American maker. I mean, how do I know the difference? I don't pay attention to cars. Or at least I didn't. I do now. But my point is, though, like, I don't know. Street Fighter the movie was just awful. And the game, the fighting game based off of it was awful.
Hey.
Because they were using the digitized actors like, you know,
it was.
Mortal Kombat. Because Mortal Kombat was killing them right then.
This is most the last thing in the world to watch Jean-Claude Van Damme doing flash kicks on Street Fighter the movie, the game.
That game was awful. And then they had the nerve to insert Akuma in there. What the hell did he have to do with the movie? He wasn't even in the movie.
You gotta get those specials.
First of all, he wasn't even in the movie. He wasn't.
Can't have a Street Fighter game without Akuma.
Yes, you can. It's called Street Fighter 2.
Nope. From then on, they could not.
It's called Street Fighter 2. But I don't know. I was not impressed with that movie game tie-in.
I remember a game, the very first movie game that I played came out in, like, the really, really early 80s. Of course, I didn't play it until, like, I don't know, maybe, like, 87 or something. I remember going with my mom one day to the laundromat to wash some clothes. There's two arcade games there. One was Miss Pac-Man, to which everyone played Miss Pac-Man. And the other one was Tron.
Yeah, Tron was based off a movie, I think. or later they made the movie Tron for the game.
The nice thing about Tron was, I'm trying to think of key points. One, I was too young to really understand. I was really too young to understand the whole level about the light bikes. I didn't understand that the bike turned. There's this light right here that apparently doesn't go away. If you hit it, you die. So, it's like playing a game of tic-tac-toe with an extremely big board. And you're hoping that you're going to get the one to actually win. Because you don't want to get a cat. Because you get a cat, that means you're dead.
Yeah, you mean you dead?
Yeah.
What does that have to do with?
That's what it is. It's like tic-tac-toe.
But what it had to do with Tron? I don't understand.
With the light? With the light?
What the cat got to do with the light in
listen,
Tron?
Listen to me. Listen to me now. Listen to me. Let me talk. Let me say something. Listen. If you play the light bikes on Tron.
Yeah.
There's two people.
Yeah.
You ride side by side.
Yeah.
If one veers off to, say, turn right suddenly, and keeps going, the other one has to turn. Oh. If not...
I remember that little segment they were picking at it in
Robot Chicken.
Yes,
they did.
Because I was trying to figure out what the hell they were talking about.
Tron!
And then I realized it was Tron.
Of course, it did come from the movie, but at the same time, I got to thinking, I was like, because it's been many times where... It was just me and the computer. Computer turn right, I have to turn right. Computer turn right again, I have to turn right. Now, we've turned right three times. What do you do again? It turns right again. I have to turn right. The square is getting smaller and smaller each time we turn it right. Pretty soon, doesn't take a mathematician to know, I'm going to die real quick.
I don't understand. So you run into the wall and you die?
You run into the light and you die.
What light?
The light, the bikes give off light. It's a light image behind them. Oh. It will kill you.
Okay. So see, I didn't play Tron too much. I knew about Tron, but I didn't play it. Like, enough, I guess.
Like, it was bad. To me, it was extremely bad. Not to mention the part where you have this cone. It's basically... It's like playing Alien Invaders, except as a cone. And on the cone, there's these colored grids. And you have to shoot the disc at the grids in order to get inside the cone. Doesn't seem hard. Except when you press the button, the disc don't always come out in time.
Who would play that?
It was Midway. What do you expect?
Oh, God. Midway.
So... I would say Tron was probably the first game I played. I enjoyed it at first until I realized this game's completely ass.
It is. That sound like ass. I'm trying to think. What else were there any other really... Oh, well, I mean, there's a lot of bad movie to games. Let's see. Iron Man, recently...
Pick the Star Wars games. They're on the Super Nintendo.
Hey, they was Star Wars, Super Empire Strikes Back, Super Star Wars, and Super Return of the Jedi. They hard. They real hard. I give them that.
Exactly. They were hard.
I'm trying to think. Cause I knew somebody who had those, and he was all like, "Man, I'll give you some codes for them." I was like, "I don't need codes for that. I don't even play them." Like, I don't care. I don't like Star Wars. Yes, I said it. For all of you,
there's the Star Trek games.
Crazed, Star Wars and Star Trek fans out there. No, I don't give a damn about Star Wars and Star Trek, okay? I will come out and be the first one to tell you that. I don't give a damn. I'm so sick of Star Wars and Star Trek. Having grown up in a household where that's all they talked about because they were really into it. You either really like it, or you don't. At all. I don't like it. I've never liked Star Wars. And I've never liked Star Trek. Never. Okay. Even though I have Star Trek 4, I think it is, the Voyage Home. I have that one memorized because I've seen it so many times, unwillingly. But I can't stand Star Trek. And I can't stand Star Wars. I've always thought they're extremely cheesy and corny. And people take them far too seriously. When you make up an entire language based off a damn movie or a TV show that's 50 years old, you've gone too far. Okay, just so y'all know that. I'm not a fan of either one. So, don't count on seeing no coverage anytime soon of any of those. So, you know, hold your breath and wait if you're doing that. Hold your breath and wait. And I guarantee you'll die before you see any coverage of either one in there unless James really, 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 really wants to do something on it. Okay, enough of my diatribe rant about those two.
She's just not one with the Force.
Hell no, I ain't one with the damn Force. Screw the Force.
Superman 64.
Oh, God. Stop it. Stop it. Just stop it. Just stop.
Superman 64.
That game was so bad. It's so bad. I can't even think of words to describe how bad that game is. It's so bad. It makes me want to throw up thinking about it. Who would put that out as a product? I don't understand. What happened in the development cycle of that game? What happened? Were they all doing drugs and decided they wanted to make a game?
They didn't play it.
They were like, we ain't got to play it. That's what we got testers for.
They didn't test it.
They didn't do that either, like, apparently. I mean, the 64 is the Nintendo 64 is a shining example of how on one hand you can have some really great games. GoldenEye, Super Smash Brothers, Super Mario 64, Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time.
Most of those things you name are Nintendo.
Pilot Wings 64, Star Fox 64.
Can you name anything that's not made by Nintendo?
Star Fox was not. That's rare.
That's true. Rare made Star Fox. And GoldenEye.
They didn't make... Well, Nintendo made Pilot Wings. Okay, let me think. What else? Oh, I have a couple of games on 64 that aren't Nintendo made. Magical Tetris Challenge. That's an awesome game. Tetris Fear. Oh, well, Nintendo made that too. I think Nintendo made Tetris Fear. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't. I don't remember. MK Trilogy. That was actually not bad. The PlayStation version was better, except for the fact that it had the load time problems. But,
Shane T-Song. Well, just turn him off, though.
Yeah, but it loaded. That goes the whole character right there. But it also loaded when you did finishing moves, and I couldn't stand that. Let me think. What else? What else we got on 64?
You might have lost one character, but you gained like 15 others because you got Mr. Bentley as Raiden. And then, you know, you have Raiden. Then you got, you know, Gangsta Kano running around doing elbow combos. the 15 million Kung Laos. Actually, it was just two.
It was just two and two Jacks.
Yep.
Two MK Jacks. MK2 Jacks and MK3 Jacks.
Yep. And then you got all those bosses down now. All of them.
Yeah. I mean, and you got both Sub-Zeros.
Man, it wasn't a bad game.
I mean, it was all right.
I mean, you just had to...
I didn't like the loading. The loading worked on my nerves.
If you played with... And you play with Shane T-Song, then you either know how to do a lot of stuff without doing morphs, or you just got patient. Although it was really aggravating. Fight.
Yeah, that was aggravating. I hated it because it loaded the finishing moves. And I was like, oh God, please, can we make this go a little bit faster here?
Yes, if it wasn't on the PlayStation 1.
Yeah, now, you know, if they re-released that...
Because you can hear it moving.
Yeah, it was searching to get the disc.
Searching to get it.
But, yeah, I mean, it was... If we could get that re-released, that would be great. I bet you it would be awesome if it was re-released, the PlayStation version, was re-released on PS3 without all the loading problems. Oh, I bet that would be awesome. Of course, you know, Midway ain't gonna do that, even though, you know, it would help them make some money and they could go back to where they started falling apart.
They wouldn't make any money off that. Most of that funds is going straight to Sony.
Yeah, that's true. It's probably going straight to Sony anyway. But, I'm trying to think. What? Okay, well, we've mentioned a whole bunch of really great games on the 64.
You ain't talk about no movie games.
But what I'm saying is, you've got all these really great games on 64 on the one hand, and then you got Superman 64.
Feels bad.
Which just kind of, just, I mean.
It was bad.
I can't. That just brought the whole system down. Like, it was an example of what not to do when you come out making a game.
It was dedicated to 2-year-olds who are blind. That's the only thing I could see.
That was such a blight on Superman's name. I can't.
Because it took years. They decided to get rid of that. They had to kill Superman off. So he can come back better than ever.
Death and return of Superman. So. I mean, it was so bad. I mean, you had like Christopher Reeve as the good part of Superman. You got Christopher Reeve, Kevin Spacey as Lex Luthor in Superman Returns, and then you got Gene Hackman as Lex Luthor. He actually wasn't bad. I mean, he was all right. I mean, and then you got Superman 64. Then you got Superman 4, which was really bad. But I'd rather watch Superman 4 than play Superman 64.
Hey, the quest for peace was a good thing.
Yeah.
He was noble about it, although, you know, it was a complete political movie. But he was noble about it. And yeah. At the end, he didn't give a shit.
But, I mean, that's a crowning achievement as for bad games, bad movie to game translation. Iron Man was really bad recently too, which didn't make any sense because I've been told the Iron Man movie is like really good.
Yep.
But the game translation is awful. But I mean, you know, hey, let's see.
What else? That Wolverine video game that just recently came out.
Hey, that was actually pretty good. The Wolverine game was pretty good.
I'm now trying to mention good games.
Oh, okay.
I'm trying.
You should probably say that because people think that game was bad.
No, I'm trying to remember good games. I stayed away from that game because it was a movie game, but most people say it was really good.
What about Hulk Ultimate Destruction? Wasn't that what the game was called?
Ultimate Destruction was a game, but it wasn't based on the movie. It was a great game. Don't get me wrong, it was a great game.
The fact that you could, like, jump 3,000 feet in the air and kill stuff is the whole was awesome.
It's like, the best way to describe Ultimate Destruction is, take Grand Theft Auto 3, and instead of having the guy that you have to run around with getting in cars, you're Hulk. Yeah. So, you can go on a rampage all day long, which was awesome. So, I have to admit, it was a great game, along with Ultimate Spider-Man, which also was a good game. But the game that they released with the Hulk movie was not bad either because it was based on the same system.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a pretty decent game. Now, the Transformers games, the first one I'll say was okay. That second one, I'm going to think about that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I can't think of any others right now that were really, really bad. Oh, well, really bad ones.
The X-Men game.
Which one?
The last one they had. What was it? Let me think of it.
X-Men Rise of the Mutants or some such nonsense? I don't know.
No. The Legends one. It was the one based on the movie. The last movie.
X3?
Yeah. I'm trying to remember the name of it. They called it something. It was X-Men the movie something.
Mm. Well, really bad one. Not the Friday. Well, besides Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street.
That's up there with 64. Superman 64. That is.
Nightmare on Elm Street.
One. It shouldn't have been a platformer.
What, Nightmare on Elm Street?
Yeah.
Why make a game about having to kill a convicted murderer and rapist?
Condemned.
Let's not even get into the fact about Condemned. It's just Condemned, awful.
You got Silent Hill and everything. I mean, but still, I just think the horror games should not be platformers.
No, probably not.
It should be survival horrors. Of course, at that time they made that, they had no idea. But that was their chance to make it. Instead, we had to wait to Resident Evil.
Let me think. I don't know. What else? And this is movie to game.
The Batman games. All the Batman movies they did.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, Batman Returns was okay. But Batman Forever, bad. Yeah, Batman Forever wasn't even all that great. And I went to see Batman Forever because, pro tip for some of you listeners, typically Batman movies tend to come out, or at least the first couple of Batman films tend to come out on or before my birthday. So I would always go see Batman thereabout on my birthday. And, I went to see Batman Forever on my birthday. Because it came out that day. And I went to see Batman Returns shortly after my birthday. The first Batman I saw, well, I saw it on VHS first. Yeah, I'm dating myself here. I saw it on VHS first. when you know, getting the Batman film on VHS was the thing. Because I remember my brother buying it, and we sat down, he fried french fries, and we sat down and ate.
French fries.
French fries. We ate crinkle cut french fries sitting in my mama's living room right now. That she's in right now. Sitting in my mama's living room watching Batman on the big old TV in our living room. We no longer have said TV or the shelf that the TV was on, but or even the carpet in the living room.
Shows you how bad that movie was.
Yeah, well, actually the first Batman was awesome. But, yeah, I'm dating myself because I remember actually playing Batman the game, too. The original Batman game. But, yeah, I mean, it's the Batman games progressively got worse until Batman Arkham Asylum, apparently, because I haven't played it. But
it's getting great reviews.
And I heard it's absolutely excellent, and it makes Batman useful again, so... You know, hey, I can't argue with that. I mean, if it makes Batman relevant again, so be it.
He can be relevant in graphic novels and comic books. They ain't got to put him back in the video game.
Well,
because as long as he's in video games, that means they're going to make a fighting game with superheroes. And dare I say it, who's going to beat Superman if he's really in a fighting game?
Well, according to this, Scorpion can.
Yep. Yep.
Scorpion and Sub-Zero can. But,
you must have a kryptonite spear or freezing with some kryptonite or something.
Yeah, that's actually that's what they did. Mm-hmm. I think they had to involve kryptonite in there somewhere. But, I mean, like, with Batman, it was just... I don't know. Batman's image has been repaired greatly in the past couple of years with the first movie, Batman, the first new Batman movie, and then Dark Knight, and then Arkham Asylum has done much to repair the Batman name since.
Batman Begins? Yeah.
Yeah, Batman Begins. It's done much to improve the Batman name since, you know, the flops of, God help us, Batman and Robin. And Batman Forever.
Don't blame George Clooney on that.
George Clooney is not my idea of Batman. I'm sorry. Much as I like George Clooney as an actor, he is not Batman. He is not Bruce Wayne. He will never be Batman. Okay?
I didn't think Val Kilmer did a great job either.
Val Kilmer was okay. He wasn't great, and he wasn't... He was okay. But I much prefer myself. I much prefer Michael Keaton. He is Batman to me. He's Batman. Him and Adam West. As campy and cheesy as Adam West was, Adam West is Batman.
Yeah, Adam West was the man.
He was so overdramatic and cheesy, but he worked with what he had.
He had the acting school of William Shatner, where he would make dramatic pauses and talk low. And then speak up real loud so Robin can say crazy adjectives.
Holy loudness, Batman! I actually watched the show. I remember watching the show because it used to come on at 5 o'clock.
I just watched it because of all the flashy stuff that was going across the screen.
No, I liked Cesar Romero as the Joker. Oh my gosh, I love me some Cesar Romero because he was the man. And Burgess Meredith as the Penguin. Yep. Well, because, you know, he shared my name and all. But, and I did like Frank Gorshin as the Riddler.
Can't forget
Catwoman. Yeah, well, she is all right. I like Eartha Kitt. I'd love to hear Eartha Kitt talk. Mm-hmm. Well, because I like cats, but I love Cesar Romero. Oh my gosh, I love me some Cesar Romero. But he was, that's what I like Batman for, but we watched it every day because, I mean, that was what my brother wanted to watch, so that's what we watched.
That theme song got stuck in your head.
Oh my god, it was awful. Same bat time, same bat channel. I was like, oh my god, this is bad. Even as a small child, I was sitting there and thinking, this is bad.
It was never on the same channel for me. I just turned the TV and was on another one.
Well, they had back-to-back episodes for us. So, it would come on at 5 and 5:30. And we would eat, we might eat a little snack before dinner because my mom was probably cooking dinner. But, I don't know. I really liked the show because it was funny. It wasn't meant to be funny, but it was funny.
I thought it was funny.
But,
especially, you know, seeing that the camera was turned sideways so that act like they're climbing up a building when they're really just walking on a floor and someone's pulling the rope. And all those cameo guests just show up out of nowhere.
Holy hole in a donut, Batman. I literally watched dude say that. What was Bert's name? Bert. Gosh. I can't think of the guy's last name. But he played Robin.
I can't think of his name.
Right. Gosh, I can't think of the guy's name. But I knew his first name was Bert. Anyway, because he just recently died. It wasn't that long ago, I don't think. He either recently died or he was in the news and they were talking about he was dead and they thought he was dead or something like that. But Burt Ward, I think it was.
Yeah, that's
it was Burt Ward. That's who it was. I think he just did recently die. If I'm wrong, you know, I'm wrong. But
Burt
I'm sorry.
Burt Ward, come out and tell us we're wrong.
Well, I mean, you know, I hate to cast, you know, the pall of death on the man if he ain't dead. But anyway, Burt Ward was the one. I actually sat there and saw the man say, "Holy hole in the donut, Batman," and I was like, who writes this stuff? Seriously.
Maybe he's ad-libbing the whole time.
I was like, who's writing this? This is bad.
It was funny, though.
But I liked it. I thought it was hilarious. But even as a child, I thought, this is some bad stuff.
It's cheesy. But it's good. It's good family fun.
Yeah, it was. It was
unlike
it was
that
pretty
video
good
game.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. There's been some bad Batman games, but I enjoy Batman, so he's my favorite DC superhero. If I have to really get into superheroes of DC, which, listeners, keep in mind, we are going to start a new podcast to go along with our Editor's Weekly podcast. We're going to start a new podcast each quarter about comic book issues to go with our strip, our new section called The Strip, where we talk about different comic book issues that we are concerned about or that we like or we didn't like or whatever. Look forward to debut with The Strip, which is coming up with quarter one of 2010. But anyway, and we'll probably get into this sometime on that podcast about DC, our favorite DC characters, favorite Marvel characters, that kind of thing. But Batman is my favorite DC superhero. I can't stand Superman. I mean, I can't. I would name my son Kal-El, maybe. Like, you know, stupid-ass Nicolas Cage. But that's about it. I actually really enjoy Batman. I've always had a soft spot for Batman. But
Bruce and Wayne is too cliche for a child.
No.
So no one would ever name him after that.
I wouldn't name Bruce. I wouldn't name my child Bruce Wayne. But
you have to figure out something else.
And my favorite DC villain is the Joker. I've always been partial to the Joker, which is kind of why I liked the first Batman so much. The first Batman movie, I liked it so much. And I did really like Heath Ledger's portrayal of the Joker. He was spot on. It was as if they wrote the Joker to match him, and not the other way around. But I love to see what has come back and helped Batman these days with the Arkham Asylum and the two movies, Batman Begins and Dark Knight. It's good to see Batman on the rebound. So he's another one of those where he's been a movie first. He's really been, he's been comic books, and then he's been movies, and then he kind of went down, and then he came back up with...
It was comic books, TV, and then he went to movies.
Yeah.
And...
He just fell off in the last couple of movies.
Even in those movies and everything, when the movies got bad, he still had the animated shows was really good.
Yeah, Batman animated series was off the chain.
And although I didn't watch Batman Beyond that much, I did watch Batman Beyond Return of the Joker, and I have to say, it was really freaking good. he might have fell off into, you know, the big Hollywood scheme of things, but he's always been there.
He came back, though. He came back with Dark Knight. Dark Knight, well, Batman Begins, really, but Dark Knight really pushed him back to the forefront where he's a marketable, acceptable
only in
movie.
Hollywood.
Yeah. So... I don't know. Well, any other things you want to talk about with bad comic book movies before we go?
Yes. If you have Superman 64, you need to bury it. Bury it right now. Or maybe the reason that you still have Superman 64 is because you have not played it. Do not let Superman 64 touch your 64.
It will kill it.
What you need to do is listen to my instructions very carefully. Pick up your Superman 64. Walk into the nearest dumpster that you can find. Throw it into the dumpster. Pick up the dumpster. Take it out to a larger container. Sit that in the larger container. Wait till someone come by to pick up the trash. And as they come in to pick up that trash, give them $5 to make sure that they burn that game at the site.
Yeah, I won't go that far, but it's bad. Oh my God, that game is bad. It's really, really bad. But
you gotta fly through rings.
Oh my God, and through mist, through rings. With the worst draw-in possibly, even worse than Crazy Taxi on Dreamcast. The worst draw-in ever done. The worst draw-in ever. But, okay. I just don't understand how that made it out past somebody's Q&A. Titus, matter of fact, you know what? Titus has never made another game ever after that. I don't think.
You know the reason why Nintendo didn't care? One, it was Superman, so they knew it was going to sell. They didn't care if it was good. They didn't care if it was bad. Nintendo still does that.
That Nintendo official seal of quality does not mean a goddamn thing anymore. Matter of fact, it don't even say official seal of quality anymore.
It just
says seal of quality, and sometimes it don't even have that. I'm like, Nintendo, how far have you fallen down? But that's another podcast.
Yep. Superman 64 burning.
So, folks, this has been Gaming Insurrection Editors for our weekly episode number 11. Talking about the good, the bad, the ugly, and video game movies. Well, catch us next time. I don't know what our next episode is going to be right at this moment. But we will have another one. It'll be episode 12. Catch us on our website at www.gaminginsurrection.com, which you're probably already there listening to this. Also, check out our YouTube channel to see episodes of the Gaming Insurrection Show. We're at episode 5 right now, and we're planning to have some more episodes, including our beach trip. Check us out. We like to talk about stuff, so we'll have several more videos up. And you get to see us live and in the flesh talking about various gaming issues. Thanks for listening. Hope to see you back next week.